Bhagavad Lila, Chapter 25, Yajnapatnis Blessed by Krishna. The Brahmanas Wives Blessed, Chapter 23. Sri Gopuchu Rama Rama Mahabaho Krishna Dushcha Dushta Nibarhana Heshavai Bharate Shunnas Tachchantim Kartam Arhata. The Gopa said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, Dushta Nibharhana. We are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it. Thus entreated by the coward boys, Devaki Nandan replied as follows, desiring to please certain of his devotees who were Brahmana's wives. Krishna spoke in order to give mercy to the wives of the Brahmanas. At one particular wife who attained the 10th stage of prema, out of compassion for her, Krishna wanted to show special mercy. Krishna told the coward boys, Prayatta Devaya Janam Brahmana Brahmavadina Satram Angirasam Nama Yasate Swargakamaya. O Gopas, go to the sacrificial arena where a group of Brahmanas learned in Vedic injunctions are now performing the Angiras sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. Krishna sent the coward boys to the Brahmanas to teach them that he does not bestow mercy upon those devoid of bhakti, even though they may be Brahmanas endowed with austerity, knowledge, and religious principles. On the other hand, Krishna showed that he does give mercy to those that have bhakti, like the Brahmana's wives, Yajnapatnis, even though they lacked knowledge, austerity, and awareness of all the various religious principles. Krishna told the coward boys, when you go there, you should ask for rice, calling out our names, Krishna and Balaram. Though those Brahmanas are supposed to be intelligent, they must be woken from their deep slumber of forgetfulness by calling out our names. Krishna and Balaram have sent us. You should actually call out Baladev's name first, because those materialistic Brahmanas will think that Balaram, being a Kshatriya, is worthy recipient of charity, whereas I, being a lowly Vaishya, am certainly unworthy to receive charity. Even if they give a little, it is acceptable. So the coward boys went and submitted their approach. They approached with folded hands to show their humble attitude before the Brahmanas. Though they fell on the ground, the coward boys appeared more effulgent than the Brahmanas, who were standing upon the land of Vrindavan. Hey Bhumi Deva Srinuta, Krishnasya Desha Karina, Praptan Janita Bhadram, Wo, Gopan No Ramachoditan. The Gopa said, O gods on earth, Bhumi Deva, earthly gods, please hear us. We coward boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good fortune for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. The coward boys said, we are executing the order of Krishna, who is more powerful than Balaram, because Krishna is Nanda Nandan, the son of the king Nanda. Since We have been sent by Baladev. We will give him the first rice that we receive. The coward boys then said, please give us some rice. The Brahmanas replied, because Krishna and Balaram are not Brahmanas, we cannot give you until after the Brahmanas have eaten. Coward boys said, but Krishna and Balaram are hungry. You know the Vedic injunction, anasya shuditam patram. Food should be given to those who are hungry. Seeing the Brahmanas unfavorably inclined and not saying anything, the coward boys continued, O Brahmanas, if you have faith in Krishna and Balaram, then give. And if you do not, then say no, and we will go back. Seeing you remaining silent upon hearing our request to feed Krishna and Balaram, the sound of whose names causes the entire universe to melt with love, we can understand that your being, quote, twice born, Dvija, merely means born from two parents. When the Brahmanas did not respond to the coward boy's initial request, the boys addressed them with a touch of sarcasm. Of course, you know the highest principles of religion. So what can we tell you about Dharma and Adharma? The phrase Dharma Vittama, best knower of Dharma, can also mean taken as Dharma Vittama. The ritualistic Brahmanas are actually to the ignorant of religious principles. The coward boys, anticipating the possible objection from the yogic Brahmins that they couldn't give any food because they, the Brahmins themselves, had not yet eaten, and another rule says a priest initiated to perform a yajna should not eat during that function. Therefore, the boys humbly informed the Brahmanas about various technicalities of ritualistic sacrifice. The coward boys said, this rule applies from the beginning of the sacrifice until the animal is killed. But after that, there's no fault in taking food. This applies to all sacrifices other than the shrotramani, in which none of the food can be eaten. Is understood from this verse that the animal is already killed. Though the Brahmanas were knowledgeable of scripture, why didn't they respect Krishna and Balaram? Actually, the Brahmanas did not know scripture. They were ignorant in realizing and imparting scriptures. Sukadeva Goswami ridicules them for being full of petty desires, such as aspiring for the heavenly planets. The Brahmanas thought themselves advanced in knowledge, vridha manina, but actually they are only advanced in age, vridha. The word vridha means wisdom in old age. When should a person overlook the rules outlined in scriptures for suitability of place, time, and person, and give his acquired goods to another person? Due to their material vision, Martyatmana, the Brahmanas thought of Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, as an ordinary human, although Krishna cannot be perceived by the material senses. He can be realized by mercy. Thinking, how can we give to the coward boys before we have eaten? The Brahmanas did not say yes to their request, and they did not reject the proposal to give their remnants after the yajna by saying no. Seeing that Parikshit Maharaj was becoming angry on hearing this, Sukadeva Goswami said, O Parantapa, if you had been there, even though they were the best Brahmanas, you would have punished them like enemies. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, Jagadishvara and Bhagavan, simply laughed. Then Krishna again addressed the coward boys, showing them the way men act in this world. Krishna laughed because it was not proper to show anger toward the ignorant brahmanas. Furthermore, Krishna wanted to teach that a beggar should not become despondent because there's a nature of begging that one is often refused. Krishna said to the boys, just tell the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the brahmanas, that Balaram and I have come very near their house. But don't tell them I'm hungry, for if they hear that, these devoted ladies will become severely distressed. Coward boys. But how will they give us food if we do not tell them you are hungry? Krishna. Seeing that you are hungry, they will give food for us. Coward boys. But their husbands will prevent them. Krishna. The brahmanas' wives have great affection for me. They will not heed their husbands' prohibitions, since their minds dwell on me. It's only their bodies that are residing in their husbands' houses. The coward boys said, when they returned to the Yajnapatnis, we have been sent here by Krishna. On hearing the name of Krishna, the Yajnapatnis, the brahmanas' wives, fainted in bliss. To revive them, the boys explained why they had come to their houses, beginning in a gentle way and ending boldly. The boys said, Krishna and Balaram have come a long way. Seeing the wives becoming very attentive upon hearing this, the boys desired to inspire them further by mentioning that Krishna and Balaram wanted some food. The coward boys said, Krishna and his friends are suffering from hunger. The wives of the Brahmins began criticizing their minds on hearing that Krishna was hungry. Oh, you low mind, although you have heard that your beloved Krishna is suffering from hunger, why did you not wake up from fainting? The four varieties of foods which were offered are those that are chewed, sucked, licked, and swallowed. The foods are full of rich tastes and aromas. Due to conjugal feelings, the Yajnapatnis went to meet Krishna as if he were their paramour. In order to avoid censure for their conduct, Shukadeva Goswami compares the wives of the brahmanas to rivers flowing naturally towards the sea, because they had already heard extensively about Krishna. Krishna was decorated in a yellow dhoti, and he had a garland of forest flowers and leaves extending to his feet, a peacock feather in his topknot, tilak and designs of colored clay, fresh leaves tucked in his belt, water lilies over his ears, curls of hair falling over his cheeks, and a beautiful smile on his lotus face. Krishna looked like a theatrical artist. Krishna conveyed his intentions by gestures, resting his left arm on a friend's shoulder and twirling a play lotus in his right hand. By this expression, Krishna was telling the Yajnapatnis, I have seized within my hand your lotus hearts, and I am eagerly twirling them about. While seeing you, who possess loving sentiment, my heart is twirling like this lotus out of eagerness. Thus, on the pretext of twirling a lotus flower, I am revealing to you, Yajnapatnis, that my heart is twirling about. This is what you should deduce from how I'm acting. The Brahmana's lady's ears had become successful by hearing repeatedly about the excellent qualities of their beloved, Sri Krishna. And thus their minds became absorbed in Krishna. They brought Krishna through the doors of their eyes and made him lie down upon a lotus flower bed of their hearts. Then by embracing Krishna for a long time, they gave up their distress. By that embrace, the Yajnapatnis fainted in the bliss of union with Krishna. In this way, they became relieved of the pain of separation from Krishna. This resembles the sages who gained freedom from the pains of false ego by embracing their inner consciousness. Seeing the ladies in such a state, standing stunned with the plates of food in their hands, Krishna began laughing and spoke. Swagatam vo mahabhaga asyatam karavamakim yanno didrikshaya prapta upapanam idam hiwa. Krishna said, "Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you that you have come here to see me is most appropriate." Swagatam vo mahabhaga asyatam karavamakim. Krishna addressed the wives of the brahmanas, who were endowed with the greatest prema, in a similar manner that he had also addressed the gopis who came for the rasa dance. Krishna said, "O Yajnapatnis, your coming is all glorious, and you are very fortunate. Out of the desire to see me, you have overcome many obstacles to come here. But I cannot repay you in any way. So what can I do for you? I can simply remain your debtor. Please rest here for some time and take my darshan." Though the wise were full of the highest prema, fulfilling their desires would not now nourish the prema. And without nourishing the rasa, the pastimes would not be as relishable. Though Krishna was moved and controlled by the prema of the Yajnapatnis, suddenly within his mind, his lila shakti, pastime potency, manifested her influence to bring out a mood of Aishwarya, which caused Krishna to send them home. Although Krishna's opulence, Aishwarya, does not tend to manifest in the presence of persons who have pure ecstatic love for him, still, for the purpose of keeping the pastimes perfect, became manifest to increase the eagerness of their feeling of separation, unalloyed love. Subduing Krishna's rati, it brought out his discrimination, and thus Krishna spoke in two verses according to the mood of Aishwarya. Krishna said, "Not only you have become attached to me, but other persons as well have developed affection for me. Who are they? Those who expertly see to their own welfare serve me without personal motives or objections." To inspire the brahmana's wives with intelligence, Krishna used logic to pacify them. It is because of contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends. It is because of contact with the self that one's vital breath, intelligence, mind, friends, body, wife, children, and wealth are dear. What can be more dear than the self? But actually I, the Paramatma, the inner seer, am dearer than one's body, sons, husband, and family. Because I am that very super soul, as you have heard from Gargamuni, therefore I am already always embracing your bodies. Therefore return to the sacrificial arena and join with your husbands. The Yajnapatnis, brahmanas wise, replied, "That may be, but how can we return there, giving up you, who are directly the Paramatma standing before us?" Krishna, "Your husbands need your assistance to complete the sacrificial rituals, which have been explained by me in the Vedas. Therefore go and perform those activities according to my order, and you'll be able to see me directly there as well." Oh, the brahmana's wives replied to Krishna, "O Almighty One, please do not speak such cruel words. You should fulfill your promise that you always reciprocate with your devotees in kind. Now we have attained your lotus feet. We simply wish to remain here in the forest, so we may carry upon our heads the garlands of tulsi leaves you may neglectfully kick away with your lotus feet. We are ready to give up all material relationships. Here the brahmana's wives speak the same line that the gopis, Krishna's Parama Premi Bhaktas, said at the beginning of the rasa dance when Krishna told them to go home as well. Mevam vibhorati bhavan karitum nri shamsam. The brahmana's wives said, O all-powerful Lord, you should not speak such cruel words. One who enters the spiritual world never returns to the material world of birth and death. You should make your words true, such as yetam mam prapadyante tam satav bhajamyam. If one surrenders unto me, I will reward him. Those who surrender unto Krishna can easily cross beyond all difficulties, Krishna says. You young ladies are members of the aristocratic Brahmana community, so how can you surrender at the feet of a mere coward boy? Wives, but we have already surrendered by taking the dust of your lotus feet on our heads. Since we desire to become your servants, we are obviously not maintaining a false identification as members of the so-called Brahmana community. You can easily ascertain this from our words, Krishna. But I am a coward boy, and those who are coward girls are suitable to be my maidservants and lovers. Wives. True, let them be so. Let them shine forth if you are embarrassed in front of your relatives to make Brahmana ladies your maidservants. We certainly don't want to embarrass you. We will not go to your village, but we will rather remain in Vrindavan, like presiding deities of the forest. We simply desire to perfect our lives by any contact with you. O Prabhu, we will be happy to remain at a distance and simply pick up the tulsi leaves that have fallen from your feet or which have been crushed by the feet of your lovers after they have embraced you, or which have fallen under your flower bed and been mercifully given to us by your servants. We will bind these tulsi leaves in our hair. We do not aspire to become your intimate girlfriends or maidservants, because that position is very difficult to achieve. Krishna. But will your family members not object? Wives. If they do, we will reject them and immediately come to you. From our youth, we have heard about your sweetness of your form and qualities from the flower sales ladies and betel nut sellers of Vrindavan. Consequently, we have fallen in love with you, poor Virag, and become indifferent to our household duties. Seeing us deviating, our husbands have become doubtful and no longer deal with us. After this, they will not accept us in the house. Weeping, the brahmana's wives touched their heads to Krishna's feet and said with choked voices, We have no other shelter. You should do something. O killer of enemies, Arindama, please vanquish the obstacles which prevent us from attaining you. Krishna replied, Since you have pure love for me and are dedicated to my happiness, you should not do something which is against my intentions. Do not be stubborn like this, but return home and join your husbands. Yajnapatni's reply, O topmost of learned personalities, being women from aristocratic families, even the sun does not touch us. We have disobeyed our husbands, neglecting them as insignificant as blades of grass, and come a long way from our village to be near you, who are famous throughout Braj as being licentious. If we try to return home, our husbands and others won't allow us to enter the village, and out of anger they will surely kill us. Anticipating this, Krishna replies, "There is no use in unfounded fears. Your husbands will not find fault with you. What to speak of others, such as mothers and fathers? Why? Even if you were to intimately associate with me, which you have not done yet, they will not find fault because they know that I am the Supreme Lord of everyone. Your husbands, seeing the demigods at their sacrifice, will ask them about this matter, and they will give their approval. The devas and all learned men of the past are in agreement that I am the Supreme Lord of all living entities." Yagyapatni's reply, "Then will our desire ever be fulfilled or not, Krishna? Since you're asking this with your tearful, sidelong glances, I will reply thus. The people in this world will not appreciate it if you stay with me. It is also not the best way to increase your love for me. Longing and separation will create more intense attraction to me. Therefore, observe your minds in me, and you will attain me very soon." Shravanat darshanat dhyanan mai bhavo nukirtanat natata sani sanikarshena pratiyata tato grihan. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories, that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. The wives of the Brahmanas obeyed Sri Krishna's order and returned to their husbands, whereas the Brajagopis, although ordered by Krishna to go home, remained in the forest to dance with Krishna through the full moon night. Both the Brajagopis and the Brahmanas' wives achieved unalloyed Krishna prema. One of the Brahmana ladies had been forcibly kept back by her husband. When she heard the other Brahman ladies describe Krishna, she embraced Krishna within her heart and gave up her material body, the basis of bondage to material activity. The lady restrained here by her husband was especially devoted to Krishna. She gave up her material body, but she did not give up her spiritual body, which was filled with prema due to her intense love and separation from Krishna. That spiritual body was kept hidden by the Supreme Lord, who manifested himself to her. In that body, which was purely spiritual and invisible to all, the Brahman lady quickly left that place and went to Krishna. After having given up one's husband and other objects of attachment, is it surprising that someone also gives up the material body to meet Krishna? To show the power of Krishna prema, Krishna's Kripa Shakti made that one lady at the time when all the wives went to meet Krishna, the Kripa Shakti of Krishna made that lady give up the material body, which is a cause of one's bondage to material activity, karma anubandhanam, and arrange for that Brahman lady to receive her spiritual body, which is one's connection with pure love of God, prema anubandha. Like a touchstone, Krishna's Kripa Shakti transformed the other wise material bodies into pure spiritual bodies as well. Thus, from that day forward, the Brahmana ladies had no more contact with their husbands. In this way, what is impossible for the Kripa Shakti of Krishna? One cannot say whether that one Brahman lady was superior in her bhakti to the others or not, since there is no scriptural indication. But in any case, all of the wives of the Brahmanas became perfect by the mercy of Krishna described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kripa Siddha Yajnapatni by Rochani Shukadaya. Those who became perfect by receiving the Lord's mercy, such as the wives of the Brahmanas, Bali Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami. As Krishna is Bhagavan, the possessor of all powers, in front of him, the Brahmana lady gave up her material body. Unseen by others, she met Govinda in her spiritual body, and then experienced unlimited pleasure, Vindati, with her transcendental senses. By his power, although the food was inadequate to feed all the coward boys, Almighty Krishna caused all of their bellies to be completely filled. Krishna's merciful attitude towards the coward boys is indicated here. Though Krishna had no desire to eat, he also ate to show mercy to the coward boys. Krishna had no desire to eat. Why? Because he was feeling remorse at having made the Brahmana's wives break their vows. Thus the Supreme Lord, appearing like a human being to perform his pastimes, Lila Nara, Nara Lila Vapur, imitated the ways of human society. He enjoyed pleasing his cows, coward boyfriends, and coward girlfriends with his beauty, words, and actions. Reme go gopa gopinam ramayan rupa vakrite. In this way, Krishna did not directly enjoy with the wives of the Brahmanas, but he did enjoy with the wives of the coward men. Lila Naravapu means that Krishna appeared as a human being to relish his pastimes. The predominance of the Lila Shakti over Krishna's other Shaktis, such as the Satya Sankalpa Shakti, the pastime with the Brahmana's wives did not culminate in direct enjoyment. Enjoying himself with the cows, coward men, and gopis, Krishna overwhelmed them with bliss by his form, his words, and his actions. The Brahmanas remembered Krishna constantly, and they started to repent due to the auspicious presence of their wives. They were repenting thus, "We are offenders because we ignored the request of the Lord of the universe. We were deceived by Krishna and Balaram who requested food from us." Though the women were their wives, the Brahmanas now regarded them as their gurus, and the Brahmanas criticized themselves for their own lack of devotion. The Krishna bhakti of their wives was impossible to see in ordinary society. Their Krishna bhakti was alaukik. The Brahmanas said, "Dig janma nastri mridyatad, dig vratam dig bahu gyatam, dik kulam dik kriya daksham, vimukha ye tvadhokshanje." The Brahmanas said, "To hell with our threefold birth, to hell with our vow of celibacy, and to hell with our extensive learning, to hell with our aristocratic background, and to hell with our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. These are all condemned because we were inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead." The Brahmanas said, "Our three births, physical birth, brahminical initiation, and initiation into the performance of Vedic yajnas are all useless. Our vow of celibacy is useless. And our expertise in daily and occasional duties, nitya and naimittika kriya, is all useless because we are inimical to Sri Krishna, Adhoksarja Sri Krishna." The Brahmanas continue, "If the yogis who practice Ashtanga Yoga also become bewildered, what can be said of us who are involved in so much karma. Although we are the spiritual masters of others, Maya has bewildered us about the real goal of our lives. As their husbands, fathers or fathers-in-laws, we are superficially the gurus or teachers of these women. But these women have attained perfection in Krishna consciousness, whereas we have fallen into the blind well of ignorance. These women possess a love for Krishna which is impossible for us to understand, Duranta Bhavam. Just see the prema they are showing towards Krishna. When our wives returned home, they displayed ecstatic symptoms, such as trembling, shedding tears, hair standing on end, and calling out in choked voices, "O pleasure of my life, O Krishna!" But it is not fitting for a woman to love anyone other than her husband. Though women should regard their husbands as guru, what can one say when the Supreme Lord, who is Jagat Guru, the universal teacher and spiritual master, appears directly before someone's wife? Our wives have developed their love for the Guru of the universe, Sri Krishna, Jagat Guru, Jagatpati, Jagadishwara. And now our wives don't have even a trace of attachment for home, husband, children, and so forth. As we no longer see those attachments in them, they are our gurus. From that day on, the brahmanas accepted the yajnapatnis as their worshipable spiritual masters and no longer thought of them as their wives or property. The brahmanas said, "We cannot understand how our wives have developed such extraordinary love for Krishna. They did not perform upanayana samskara. They did not live as brahmacharis in a guru's ashram. And our wives did not perform austerities or meditation on the soul or execute any auspicious rites. The cause of their love for God is none other than Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic power." This is the Tika Vishnu. "The cause of the brahmana's wives' loving devotion to Krishna was that these yajnapatnis had heard about Krishna's form and they heard about Krishna's qualities and pastimes from the malis, the flower ladies and other women of Braj," the brahmanas say. "What mercy the Lord shows and what selfishness we have. As Krishna is self-satisfied and has attained fulfillment in every possible desire, what does he need from us brahmanas? It cannot be anything else but an expression of Krishna's causeless mercy. By sending his boyfriends to humbly beg food from us, he exposed our foolish arrogance." Someone may reply to the brahmanas, "Krishna begged rice because he was hungry, not to show mercy. And you should not say that Krishna is self-satisfied, because Krishna performs activities like herding cows for some purpose." The brahmanas said in reply to this, "The goddess of wealth, Lakshmi Devi, gives up her natural tendency of fickleness to constantly worship Krishna. Yet that supreme master of the goddess of wealth still begs for food. People like us are certainly bewildered by such actions and cannot believe, therefore, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord." Ashamed about their offense against Krishna, the brahmanas offered obeisances to the Lord. "Tasmai namo bhagavate Krishna ya kuntamedase yanmaya mohita diyo brahmama karma vartmasu," the brahmanas said. "Let us offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His intelligence is never bewildered, whereas we, confused by Krishna's power of illusion, are simply wandering about on the paths of fruitive work, the karma vartma. We were bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency and could not understand his influence as the original personality of Godhead. Now we hope he will kindly forgive our offense. The brahmanas, feeling very fallen, then asked forgiveness from the Lord. Iti swagam anusmritya krishne te kritahelana te drikshavo vrajam mata kamsad mita nacha chalam. Reflecting on the sin they committed by neglecting Lord Krishna, the brahmanas became very eager to see Krishna. But due to their fear of King Kamsa, they did not go anywhere near Braj where Krishna lives. Why did the brahmanas not just rush to Braj and surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord? This verse answers, at that moment the brahmanas were bewildered by grief and guilt and were not in agreement as to the proper course of action. Thus, they did not go to the Ashoka Grove to meet Sri Krishna. And even by the end of the day, although they were all in agreement, the brahmanas still could not go to Braj. They tried to move, but could not. Suddenly, at the same time, all the brahmanas felt the presence of Kamsa, and they were afraid that Kamsa would certainly kill them if his spies reported that they had gone to Krishna. The fear of being killed, however, did not create any obstacle for their wives. Being absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness, the brahmanas' wives immediately went to Krishna, just as the gopis, simply to dance with the Lord, traveled in the dead of night through a forest full of ferocious animals. It should be understood that because the brahmanas were not on such an advanced platform of Krishna consciousness, the shadow of fear in their minds kept them from seeing the Lord face to face.